I want to begin by acknowledging that the title of today's sermon is taken from the first Star Wars movie, the one that was released in 1977. And if you came here hoping for a Star Wars sermon, I'm afraid I'm going to have to apologize. That's not actually going to be my topic. I am instead going to be talking to you about the many disturbances in our worlds. And while we experience individual changes and disturbances such as marriage, divorce, birth, death, moving, I want to talk today mostly about the changes, the disturbances that we are experiencing in our collective world. We have been experiencing change politically, societally, if that's a word, and organizationally. Politically, we're asking, what does it mean to have the president that we have? How do we relate to that? Societally, we ask, what does it mean to discover that a neighbor down the street thinks that a statue of General Robert E. Lee should be protected? Or what does it mean when our neighbors in the city don't really think about Black Lives Matter because there really aren't any Black people in their lives? Organizationally, we have a new minister who has come to the church. What's that going to be like? Whether we're anticipating it or not, we are going to have to get used to some new things. We've been experiencing changes to the design of our worship space and our worship services. How do we relate to all of these changes? To start with, the experience of change is an internal sort of reaction. It's a personal experience. And I'm going to share with you what is admittedly a very corporate-looking presentation kind of slide, and I apologize for that. But it's such a cool model, I couldn't not share it with you. I'm going to take the example of getting married or moving in together for the first time. When we take that plunge, we are high on the optimism scale. So excited. This is so great. I get to wake up with this person every day. I'm committed to them. They're committed to me. Life is wonderful. But you might also notice that says uninformed optimism. And eventually things take a turn. Sometime, days or weeks or months or years later, probably days, we hit reality. And that can be a pretty painful experience. And what comes after that is sometimes a dive into pessimism. It's a place where, there we go, it's hard. And those rose-colored glasses are gone, and in their place are lenses that only allow us to see everything that is wrong with this person who has problems. And so we come to a point where we have a decision to make. Are we going to... Boy, this worked better yesterday. Back up there. Are we going to stick it out, recommit, or are we going to walk away? Sometimes it is the right thing to do for ourselves to walk away. And sometimes we will decide to trust that the good outweighs the bad, even if sometimes we don't see it. And so we recommit. And what comes after that is a more seasoned optimism. And after that, after we have that sense of, okay, yeah, sure, there's problems, but there's also good, and the good outweighs the bad, at least most of the time, then we are able to experience success in whatever that is. Now, this curve is a fantastic model for a single change. When you have one new thing and you get used to it, and then you figure it out. But we're not going through just one change. There are different places in your life where you are along every point in that curve somewhere in your life. Somewhere in your life, you are excited about something that has just begun or is about to begin. Somewhere in your life, you are disappointed that things didn't turn out the way you'd hoped. Somewhere in your life, you are discouraged that something seems hopelessly lost. And somewhere in your life, you are wondering if you should walk away or keep trying. Somewhere in your life, you are realizing that it's not so bad. And somewhere in your life, you're saying, oh yeah, that's fine, I handled it. You are at every point along this curve all of the time because of the numbers of changes that are happening in our lives all of the time. It is overwhelming sometimes, the pace of change that we are experiencing. It can be a map-erasing hurricane of bad news. And that pace of change leads to overwhelm. Like Huxley's great wave, it is a tsunami of change. Now, in one of the much longer versions of this sermon, I had planned to go into depth about our very human fight or flight responses, about how anxiety spreads through groups, how we react to this pessimistic dip when we're in a group, about mob mentality and how our habits in responding to change at a small scale and at a large scale mirror each other. But instead of getting into all of that, I want to focus on that little dip, that turning point, where the curve starts to move up again and moves through that decision point. That moment is a spiritual moment. According to James Luther Adams, we share a tiny portion of God's creative power when we decide if we're in or out. It is here that we are exercising our creative power to form our own identity. So, how do we do that? I believe that one way is through being present. Last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, I met a woman named Sharon Udo. She's a young African-American woman, about 35, among the oldest of the millennials. And she told me her life story at my invitation, about how her parents sent her to school with white kids so she could have a good education. And as a result, she grew up hating herself for being black, wishing her hair could be long and straight and blonde, wishing her mouth could be tiny like those little white girls' mouths. Her mother was a fundamentalist Christian, and so that was her world and her comfort zone, all Jesus, all the time. She told me that she has experienced tons of transformations within herself as she has slowly, over the years, let go and moved past the barriers that held her back from herself, realizing she can be black and valuable, realizing she can listen to secular music and be valuable, realizing she can be gay and valuable. She said that when she saw what was happening in Charlottesville, she was actually moved to compassion. She realized they're just scared. And since then, she's been very intentional about talking to conservatives. She told me about a conversation she had with a conservative man at the Starbucks in Worthington. And she asked him, "What do you think about Black Lives Matter?" And he said, "It doesn't really affect me. I don't know black people." She said that filled her with pain. "You don't care?" She said, "I wanted to smack him." And yet she didn't. She listened. She stayed there with him. Asking herself to listen to that, even though it caused her pain, gave her an audience with him. It allowed her to be an influencer in his life, not to convert, but to nudge. a black person he knows who isn't scary. She told me that the journey she took before coming out hadn't been an overnight experience. It was 14 years, and it started with meeting a man who was gay and thinking, ew, his voice is weird. But he was a classmate, and so she got used to him. And then he became her friend. And then she became his friend. And then she started to get to know others who were gay and started to really enjoy hanging out with them and started trusting them and started telling them about her life and started telling them about these guys that she was dating and telling them about her terrible dates and hearing them say, girl, are you sure you're into boys? Because you do not seem to be having a good time. Maybe someday you want to go out with a girl. And hearing herself say, no way, honey, not me. Until one day she did go out with a girl. And then one morning woke up and realized, huh, what do you know? I'm gay. All of that happened because of the people who were present in her life, being themselves, being with her, and loving her. Not pushing her, but supporting her. Some of us are totally sold on mindfulness practice, but I'm learning that practicing presence goes way beyond the meditation cushion. While I was talking with Sharon, I told her, I've been hearing from my friends about how impatient we are to see conversions. We want conservatives to repent and accept the truth in liberal and humanist policies. In fact, we want anyone whose decisions we consider to be bad to repent from those decisions and agree with us instead. When I lamented to her that everyone wants to see their own personal changes happen fast, too fast, she pulled out her phone and started waving at me. It's this thing, she said. Social media. It makes us think that communication happens fast. It's efficient, but it's not effective. Now, ritual and ceremony are at the other end of that spectrum. Ritual and ceremony create beloved community when we practice them in gathering together, especially lifting our voices in song. What has not been understood until recently is that singing in groups triggers the communal release within our own skulls of serotonin, which makes you feel good, and oxytocin, the bonding hormone, and even synchronizes our heartbeats. I often experience moments of transcendence in singing Blue Boat Home or any number of our favorite hymns. So a personal experience of change is where this begins, and how we go through change affects our experience together. Now, our church is going to be experiencing a change together. We will experience this slide into pessimism. Now, for some folks, it's going to be a bigger slide, and for others, it's going to be a smaller slide, but it's part of what happens in change, so we should be able to say that, yeah, it's going to happen. It's hard to see and expect right now, because right now, we're at that high point of uninformed optimism. But we will dip to some extent. It's a guarantee. And I want to say right now that it's okay to walk away if, in your personal process of discernment about whether you are in or out, you decide that walking away is all right, is what's right for you. And the rest of us may need reassurance of that. Even if you know someone who decides that where we're going doesn't fit them, even if you know that they're going to leave, That's okay. Every person connected to this community is free to choose whether to stay or go. This is how we create our lives, our sense of who we are. And the rest of us who stay here, let's take a moment to focus on that recommit thing and figure out how do we do that? How do we actually climb out? One thing that I'm learning through all of this is that not one of us gets through this curve simply by agreeing that something is a good idea. It takes weeks or months or 14 years. A few years ago, I left my employment at Ohio State and started working for Hertz, the rental car company. My experience at Ohio State had been incredibly positive, so the only reason that I went to Hertz was because they were giving me a chance to do a job that I really wanted to do. And in the first few weeks of that new job, I was heartsick because I missed Ohio State and my people there so much. So I remember being on an airplane and crying because I was just grieving so much. And I wrote an email to my old boss, letting her know how homesick I was. When she wrote back, she said, "Just stay focused on what's working well." Now, because I love her and trust her, I did it. And it made a huge difference. I intentionally stopped focusing on what I wasn't liking or didn't want, and instead of focusing on my loss, I practiced noticing good things. A clean, fresh hotel room. A smile from someone on an elevator. The talents and professionalism of my colleagues. Because I was intentional about focusing on what was working well, I made it through that curve much faster and easier than I otherwise might have. And so I offer up my first suggestion for how to get through the bottom part of that curve. It's practicing gratitude. This doesn't mean pretending that nothing is wrong or problematic. We're so good, though, at noticing what's wrong. What we have to practice is noticing what's good. That brings us perspective and balance. And then we can expand from gratitude to expressing appreciation. Appreciation for everyone who is traveling that curve right along with us. For those who are making sacrifices of their own peace of mind in order to be a few steps ahead of us on that curve and show us the path. So I want to pause here and be really, really clear. We have a new minister. And right now, most of us are pretty darned excited that she's here, but she isn't here to be nice to us. Our search committee went out and found someone for us who will help us to get to where we want to go, and that isn't going to be an easy journey. Everyone here is going to have an experience of running smack into reality, and at some point about something thinking, "Oh, I don't like that." But we can get through it by focusing on what's working well. We can get through it by expressing appreciation for each other and for our leaders. I can say this because I'm just a member. I've got no power, I've got no position. But let's all be really intentional about expressing our appreciation for our ministers and our staff and our lay leaders. Because when they step up to take those positions, they step up for having a target painted on their back. And they need the rest of us to recognize that and to shower them with all of the appreciation that they deserve. They give up the joy and ease of pleasing everybody in order to help us do what we will eventually be grateful for and proud of, in order to help us grow. Okay, so appreciation and gratitude, that's the first thing. Something else we can do to get through it is to be present, to be open and willing, as in Holly Near's song. Being open, present, and willing when we're hearing things that are painful. being open, present, and willing, even when you want to smack somebody. To stand in the fire of the chaos. We do this not because we're masochists and not because we're weak and powerless, but because we have hope. We remember, even when we're careening down that downward slope, that the upward slope is coming. So that's the second thing, be present. And the third thing is to hold each other's pain, to look each other in the eye, to say, I love you, to ask, where does it hurt? And listen. To me, this is about soul survival. So let's develop rituals and ceremonies around appreciating each other. Let's be grateful for what's working well. Let's be open and willing to face change, to go through the pain, to stand in the fire of the chaos and support each other. Let's recommit to the bigger picture and let go of our petty complaints. Slow down. Connect to the depths of stillness beneath the choppy waves. Keep breathing. Be present. Make it sacred. And lift up our voices in song. Thank you for listening.